praise the Lord. We look at that Friday the 19th already of February. What am I thinking? It's May. And so here we are again, glad to be with you, and praise the Lord for what he's going to do this evening. We give God the glory and appreciate you tuning in and listening tonight, being a part of this broadcast as we glorify Jesus and expose the enemy and defeat the enemy. And, well, he is defeated, but we just enforce that defeat upon him. Amen. As we take our authority and use it and walk in it. So we're going to open up with some news here this evening as we start out. 16-year-old teenage boy is arrested in Canada for handing out Bibles. That's right. He said, "I will not yield." And he refuses to back down. He said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Well, I praise the Lord for that young man. He's bold. And this other person, Maxine, I can't pronounce his last name, but anyway, he said that, they burned down churches. The police won't even devote any resources to catching you if you hand out Bibles on the sidewalk, however, or hold a rally to defend fundamental rights in a time of hysteria. He said you'll be arrested and fined immediately. Well, that's Canada under their kind of a dictator, right? That president or whatever, you know, he wants to call himself there, that is over that country, trying to be over that country and mess it up. New York Times attacks detransitioners for using their story to help stop mutilation of children. Why? New York Times must want mutilation of children then. If they're attacking those who detransition, they want out of that. They think it's a horrible thing that happened to them. Well, Target is selling and pushing a new line of LGBTQ clothing for babies and children, both in store and online, sparking a social media backlash. So that's Target, a store that people like to shop at. They're obviously compromised big time. California has backed down on forcing doctors to participate in assisted suicide against their will, and has agreed to pay $300,000 to the Christian medical professionals who took the state to court over this. That's a small victory, certainly, for them. And also, California must pay Christians, churches, $1.4 million for trying to make them fund abortions. And they lost that one also. Well, let them just keep losing. In Jesus' name. Anything that's against God, anti-Christ, anti-children, anti-babies. Starbucks, which I want to support them, even if I did drink coffee, but I don't drink coffee. But if I did, I sure wouldn't support Starbucks. But anyway, Starbucks teams up with Amazon to launch biometric payment system in certain locations. The system will utilize the Amazon One system that allows payment through palm scanning. Scan your palm to pay for things. Okay, well, not me, not interested. Okay, Tim Keller, an influential pastor and author, dies at 72 this week following a lengthy battle with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Well, pray for the family of Tim Keller. Also, another person died this week, which is not saved to my knowledge, but at least this man was, from what I know about him, saved, born again. Kirstie Alley, she died at 71 years old. And said, I guess she had colon cancer, and she didn't make it. Wow. Well, we pray her family gets saved, but I think her family's in great darkness, but we pray for their salvation to come into the marvelous light of Jesus. Florida bans digital currency, and Texas bill seeks to create gold-backed digital currency. Well, I don't know that digital currency is a good thing at all, but that's what's going on there. While Vermont governor signs bills making abortion, baby mutilating, trans surgeries a legal right for children. In other words, of making abortion legal for children and baby mutilating trans surgeries, body mutilating trans surgeries, a legal right for children. You know, you got to really wonder sometimes about the people that want to promote this stuff, what kind of person they really are. Obviously, they don't know Jesus at all. There's no Christianity in them. Do they hate God? Are they full-fledged Satanists? A lot of them must be Satanists to want to do such evil upon children and babies and sacrifice these children and babies to the devil. So, yeah, you wonder these kind of folks that are sitting up there in office, how they ever even got elected. Was it even an honest election? I mean, what really happened there? Texas Children's Hospital has continued to perform medical, well, they call it interventional, intervention on children. But really what they're saying is they're being surgeries to cut off people's private parts and transition them as young as 11 years old, despite that they publicly stated that they would stop doing that amid claims of child abuse, and yet they're continuing to do it, they found. So they haven't quit, not planning to, it looks like, not planning to quit. Oh, what a demonic, who's running that hospital? Yeah, poll says on 16% of Americans said religion is the most important thing in their lives. Only 16%. In other words, 16% said that Christ is, you know, the most important thing in their life. Well, that's, you know, a different poll. I guess it kind of depends on which poll that people listen to. I mean, which poll that they believe. That there's been different numbers there. But anyway, yes, it kind of is who takes the poll and who they poll. So can you believe all polls? Probably not. But some will give you some idea that our nation is leaving the Christian faith to some degree. But I don't want to believe that they're totally leaving the Christian faith, because people are getting born again. People are getting saved still. Thank God for that. But many are rejecting the Lord and going to other things. And it's a deceived nation that will do that. Anyway, well, that's the news tonight. We're glad to see you here. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you for being a part of this broadcast tonight, of this live service here that we are sharing tonight with you. And we pray you'll be blessed by it. And we're going to open up now in prayer. Thank you, folks, again, for taking time to be here, and pray that you'll be blessed by today's broadcast. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to lift up a sister that has asked for prayer, having some serious problems in her body. Lord, I pray for her healing and for her and her husband Lord, come into some better times. They've just been having a lot of difficulties lately. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, you'll provide for them and their needs will be met and they will see the goodness of God, Lord, coming through on their behalf, Father, in Jesus' name, and healing for her and all the other areas met for them as well that they're having difficulties with, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you'll minister to them in these areas that they have need of you touching them and ministering, encouraging them, Lord, and helping them through. And they're getting a victory for them in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift them up to you, Lord. We ask you to bless them and encourage them and strengthen them. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray for another couple, their marriage, Father. We lift them up and ask you to minister in their marriage, Father, and begin to heal things and save the wife, Father, that she can serve the Lord with all of her heart. Have been saved in the past, supposedly, but not walking with God at all now. So praying that she will come back to you, Lord, that she will truly get born again if she was not really born again before. Truly get born again in Jesus' name. And pray for peace in their home and blessing in their home, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for those things as well, Lord, as other needs which we don't know about, Lord, of the listeners that listen to this broadcast. Father, we pray for their needs to be met. Father, we pray for provision and prosperity and jobs and blessings on their children, their marriage, Father, and their work, that you would bless them and minister to them, encourage them and strengthen them, bring them through the difficulty, Father, bring them through the attacks of the enemy. Thank you, but the enemy will not prevail against the people of God, Father. We give you the glory for that. Thank you for divine protection for us today, divine hedge of protection around about us. We thank you, Lord, for favor and blessings and encouragement, Lord, and strength to walk through these days, Father, that we face so many things, Lord, but we are overcomers through Jesus. He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, and we're in the overcomer, so we are overcomers, because we're in Christ Jesus today. We thank you that we are. We thank you for our position in you, our place as sons and daughters of a living God. Father, we ask your blessing tonight on this broadcast. We ask you to minister through the word, Father, as we go to the word, and through deliverance as we go to that. So, Father, just anoint this, Lord, as we share, encourage people and speak to their hearts, speak to their spirits. Lord, let there be the work of the Holy Spirit going on in them or through this. And we give you the glory for that. We cover this broadcast with your blood. We thank you for loosing the angels to make sure that everything continues well through this broadcast and works properly as we broadcast your word and your deliverance, Father. Thank you for meeting all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, Father, that you provide more than enough, Father. And we thank you that we're living the abundant life, Father, not living the abundant death that most people are living out there. But, Lord, we thank you for the abundant life, Father, that you called us to and you've given us access to if we choose to partake of it. So we praise you for that, Lord, and we break the grip of the enemy. We break his control. We break his oppression in Jesus' name and loose the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, tonight, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Say thank you, Jesus. Amen. We are the children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we have eternity to spend with him and each other. What a joy that will be. So the title tonight is Beware of Pharaoh. That's the title. And we're going to find out just who Pharaoh is. And I think you know, but I'm going to let you know here in a bit here. So we're going to get into this word tonight. And, hey, yeah, just put on your listening ears, your Holy Spirit ears, and hear what the Spirit says to you. You know, God is calling us all out of darkness. He has called us out, and we come out of darkness. If you're born again, come out of Babylon, out of the satanic system of darkness. Sleep no more, he said. Even Jesus told his disciples, you know, when he was about to go to the cross, could you not watch and pray with me 1 hour? Well, I think he's still having a hard time today finding people that would watch and pray with him an hour. I mean, the disciples that had walked with him for 3.5 years on the earth, seeing signs, wonders, and miracles, and great deliverances, they could even stay up and pray for an hour with him. And he asked them to twice. He asked them to pray. It's what it looks like here in the Word. And so they wouldn't do it. They all went to sleep. And at the very worst betrayal and night in history, although in a sense it was the best that he went to the cross for us. Thank God for that, he went through with that. Thank you, Lord. But here we are in some of the very most perilous times that, you know, we've seen in our lifetime. And how many today are sleeping when they should be watching and praying? He's called us to be watchmen. He's called us to be aware of the times and the seasons and to not be taken like a thief in the night at his coming, because his people will be aware of that, according to what the scripture says. So let's go to Romans 13, verse 11. And we see here, and that knowing the time, that now is the high time. It is high time to awaken out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Cast them out, cast them off, right? The works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. This is what we need to be about right now. Putting off the works of darkness, casting out the works of darkness, and putting on the armor of light and keeping it on. And Jesus says, awaken you that sleepeth. Again, he's having to tell people to wake up. Yeah, and time to awake. We're being assaulted by the enemy, and still we sleep. How can we do such a thing? How can we be in a state of stupor? We don't recognize the level of the attacks that are being waged against us today. As the church, as a believer, Satan has been successful with so many to beat them down, in one way or another. Some of the ways he beats them down with rejection and fear, to give us so self-focused on all that is wrong with us. And we all have stuff still wrong with us. None of us are at the place where we, you know, are ready to be translated like Enoch. We still have stuff that needs to be changed in our lives. The pain, the rejection, the fears, the hurt, the lack, the sickness, the relationship problems, our jobs. We're being kept preoccupied so that we don't spend time seeing the reality of things that we're being surrounded with, or the attack of the enemy, and the reality of Satan's kingdom here in this earth, and the reality of God's kingdom, the kingdom of God that is within us. See, the truth is hidden as much as possible by the enemy. We live in a world of lies, as you well know. We've seen nothing but, constant lies since the election of this person who claims to be president of the United States right now. And so we've seen so many lies by him and by the media and by the administration that he has there. The truth is hidden. They don't want it to come forth. They want to suppress the truth. And so here we are, very focused on the temporal, and often very focused on a lie. And we know we're about to face eternity, but eternity is not too much looked at, is it? So satanic forces are so busy today keeping us preoccupied and occupied with stuff, with things and people that are going on right now, so that we don't too much go beyond the now, right? And really, we're supposed to go beyond the now. We're supposed to be considering, Lord, come quickly. You know, we are ready to go home. We want you to come and be the Lord of all the earth and sit on your throne. And hallelujah. This is what we should be focused on. And instead of all this temporal stuff that's, you know, so pervasive in our lives. And oh, yeah, go beyond the now. One of the enemy's big tricks and tactics is to get us to focus on ourselves, too, more than anything. You know, just focus on us, our problems, our faults, our difficulties, our hurts, our pains, our sorrows, our sin, our faults, what's wrong with us, how to fix us. And it goes on and on until, you know, we just spend a lifetime in self-focusing. And this, too, really could become a form of compromise that the enemy manages to get God's people into a place of compromise. And certainly this is one way that he gets God's people to compromise, is self-focus. And so we live today in a day of compromise, really. I mean, a day when people flow with the crowd. the popular opinion. Yeah, the day of, you know, the individual pretty much, you know, had been over for years. Everybody wants to be accepted by, you know, their group. The group. Who's the group? You know, people are afraid of not being part of the group. And they don't like being outside the group, and they want the approval of the group. And so they don't even, I mean, I'm talking lots of Christians, they won't even stand up for Christ in a bold manner at all, because they don't want to be criticized. They don't want to feel like they're, you know, outside of the group. We see this in politics. We see it in national, state, and local politics and business, in religion, in law enforcement, even on an individual basis as well. You know, everybody has a peer group to which he must please or compromise to impress or belong to, right? And so the spirit of compromise has been loosed into the world, and it's loosed on the church today, folks. And because of it, you know, morals have dropped. Violence and profanity have increased. And what we see so often is people who call themselves Christians don't act very much like Christians. There's not much respect for authority, for elders, for women. There was a time when men would respect women, even hold the doors open for women. And they would respect women and children and not use all this profanity in front of them. There used to not be all this profanity on TVs and movies, but now you just turn any of it on and you're going to hear something foul, unclean, or profane. Why should we be listening to that? I don't think we should, see? So, you know, we're seeing a lot of garbage going on here. And so we need to know that the spirit of compromise has subtly slipped into believers' lives and into the church of a living God. And many are in alignment with LGBTQ, that's okay too, and that's not okay. You know, people don't read the Bible. And they would know that it's not okay if they read the Bible. Just look at Romans chapter 1. Things that would not have been thought of 10, 20, 30 years ago are now freely allowed in the church. Yes, we see abortion, sexual immorality, loose sexually suggestive dress, financial compromise, rebellion, refusal to keep their word, that their word is worthless, they lie to one another, no longer bold to witness, afraid they might offend somebody or get somebody coming after them or something. But hey, let's look at the root of compromise today, really, because we've got to defeat this demon. We can't allow this demon to run free in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to defeat the spirit of compromise today. Go to Proverbs 29. Verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. So number one, we see the spirit of compromise root is the fear of man. That's right. One of the greatest differences between King Saul and King David was that Saul feared man and David feared God. I mean, that's a major difference there. You know, Saul was worried about what people are going to think about him. And David was concerned about what God thought. You know, he was concerned about, you know, what the King of Kings and Lord of Lords have to think about all this. Yeah, 1 Samuel 15:24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy word, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. See, he confessed it right there. His problem was the fear of man. He feared the people and did what they wanted, or at least that was his excuse for his own, you know, ungodly behavior. See here, Saul confessed, you know, and, you know, understood, you know, why he'd already sinned, but he didn't really repent for it. He didn't really turn from it. And so there's a big difference between confession and repentance. I mean, know that. Confession can often simply be an attempt to manipulate. Go to 1 Samuel 15, verse 30 here. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. Saul wanted the approval of man more than he cared about the approval of God. So his confession was just to get Samuel to lift him up before the people. That's all this was about. And this is the real reason for Saul's confession. Honor me before the elders. Honor me before the people. Had he truly repented, he would have been concerned with what they thought. Look at the magazines like what? True Confessions out there. You know, are they really sorry? No. Well, yeah, they're sorry, all right, but not that kind of sorry. They're not repentant sorry, but they are sorry. Yeah. Have you ever confessed without repenting in order to manipulate, dominate, or control a person or a situation? Hey, if you're honest, I mean, most people would say, yeah. Well, why then? Why? Because self has ruled. I mean, we've compromised to get our own way, attempted to look good in front of others, attempting to impress other people, right? Hey, yeah, if you've been doing this, Bo, you need to truly, truly turn from it, repent, confess it as sin. You know, David was one of a different spirit, though. Throughout the scriptures we read over and over, David inquired of the Lord. He cared what the Lord thought. He wasn't inquiring of man. He was inquiring of the Lord. Amen? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. 1 Samuel 30. Look at verse 3. 1 Samuel 30. Let's go there. 1 Samuel 30, verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. It was a bad situation. And David's two wives were taken captive as well. And so, the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people were grieved, and every man for his sons and for his daughter, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So David went to the Lord. He wasn't all worried about what the people were doing as much as he was concerned about the Lord. And David, verse 8, inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So even when all, you know, these bad things happen, how many know, bad things happen in life sometimes, and when all these bad things happen, instead of being, you know, moved by man and the fear of man, David encouraged himself. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Listen, I've lost my wives too. I lost my two wives. They left, and they got them, and you know, children, and everything is gone too. You know, he was in the same boat as them, but you know, he didn't start to, you know, start whining and crying and wanting to kill somebody. Instead, he inquired of God. And man was talking of stoning him. They were talking about doing that, and David trusted the Lord more than men or circumstances. And he didn't compromise. Do we? How much do you trust the Lord? How much do you really trust him? See, the fear of man is a snare, but we are to fear, reverence, and honor God. Right? Fear is a reverencing of God, an honoring of God, a respect for God. Listen to the blessing of doing this. Look what it says are the blessings of reverencing God. Proverbs 9:10, that is walking in the fear of God. We can see what the blessings are. There are many blessings, and I'll just give you a couple of them here, but there are a number of them in the Word of God. We see here in Proverbs 9:10, It said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So we get it's the beginning of wisdom, and it's the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And then we look at Proverbs 10:27. It says here, the fear of the Lord prolongeth our days, right? But the years of the wicked should be shortened. So if we walk in the fear of the Lord, we're going to live a long life, which is something the wicked are not able to have because they don't have the fear of God. Their life is dead anyway. They're walking in death anyway. And Proverbs 14:26, and the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. We have strong confidence. And his children shall have a place of refuge. We shall have a place of refuge. Thank you, Jesus. But what else has compromising done? Well, compromising has robbed the church of its power. The Apostle James warns and rebukes of compromise. Yes, he does. In James 4:4, let's go read it. James 4:4. Turning pages here. Okay, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's how serious it was to compromise. You become a friend of the world because you're compromising to please or placate the world and go in alignment with them to some degree, see? And so the Apostle James rebukes and warns about this, okay? The church has been courting the world. No wonder there isn't any power to win over and defeat the devil in so many cases. See, today are being overrun and overtaken by the enemy. No wonder the power is weak to win souls and possess the land because we've compromised. The church has compromised. We've allowed their music, their morality, their filth to pollute our minds, and the church has been polluted. Instead of the world setting the mode for the church of Jesus should set the mode for the world. But that's not the case 90% or more of the time, right? That's what we see the conditions to be. So we have as a whole, the church, that is, allowed demonic pollution to subtly and not so subtly come in and pollute the church. And the church is supposed to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's what the church is. It's the pillar and ground of the church. That's what we are as Christians because Christians make up the church. The church is not a building. The church is a people. And we are the people of God. And we should be the pillar and the ground of the truth. And so what is the enemy doing? See, it says 1 Timothy 3:15, that's what the church is. I'll read it to you so that you know. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. See, that's what the scripture says about the church, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And what's the truth? The truth is God's word. The truth is God himself. But is that really any more so today? Is it really the pillar and the ground of a church? I mean, of truth, I'm sorry. The father of lies has been infiltrating the church with lies and deceptions for decades and even centuries. Anyway, he can attempt to weaken the people of God. Okay, that's the people of God are his arch enemy. He hates them. Satan hates God. Therefore, he hates his people, the people of God. Even he hates all of humanity because they were created by God. But especially Christians, we are hated by God. And yet demons want to inhabit humans because they need a body to live in so they can live out their evil work and torment the humans that they embody, see? And their invasions into a body is a corruption of that body, though. And see, the devil knows that they're corrupting the body. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And because we were born into sin, as David said, they are able to do that because doors are wide open. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. In sin did all of our mothers conceive us because we were all born into a world of sin and darkness. We were not born again. See, we didn't come out of that womb born again, praising the Lord, lifting up holy hands unto the Lord and worshiping God because you were a Christian. No, that had to come later in life. You had to get to a place where you actually got born again. So, yes, everybody is born into the sin nature. Everybody is born into that since Adam, okay, except Jesus because his father was Father God. But demons want to inhabit humans, and they do inhabit humans, and everybody has some of these things inhabiting them. And so they do this, they get in the body, they live their life of corruption out through the bodies of humanity. And so we're born into sin. These demons are able to do that because the doors are wide open to them. See, because you were born into sin. You were born into darkness. You were born into slavery. You were born into slavery to sin, and David said that. And so such is the human race. You know, if he was born in sin, we were born into sin. Thus, we must be born again from the and by the incorruptible seed of God if we want change. If we want change and to be restored to life instead of the death, which is sin and is proliferating in all who have not been born again today, right? And Jesus said, I'm come, what? That you might have life, the life of God, the Zoe of God. That's what he came for, to give you the Zoe of God, the very life of God, to infuse you with that. As you get born again, that life is quickened into us, and we are quickened. He shall quicken our mortal body. He shall quicken us too, and make us truly alive in our spirit instead of any longer being a Satan, of Satan, that is. We are now of our Father God instead of Father Satan, the devil. We are now of Father God, born again. Our spirit, which was dead, is now alive, infused with his Zoe life. The abundant life, the life of God, is available right now. It's for you to receive it because it's in your spirit right now. And he loves you so much that he placed these wonderful things within you, the great and precious promises of God is what the Bible calls it, great and precious promises, because we have a precious Savior who loves us and gave himself for us that we might be joined to him forever and become one with him forever. And so now what happens? All things are possible through the new life which is in us, which is the God life. The very life of God is living inside of the inside of us, that we have the authority given to us through the life of God. And the life of God has quickened us and made us alive and made us able to be partakers of his life if you choose to partake of his life. I mean, no, God doesn't force you to receive anything. It's your choice to receive, and if you choose to receive, you can have as much of it as you can handle, right? And yet the devil doesn't quit, or he doesn't let up on us because of this new reality of this new life that we have in our spirit, but he no longer can access that spirit because Jesus lives in our spirit. So the devil cannot access your spirit, but he camps around your spirit, and he camps in the soulish part of you, the mind, the will, the emotions, and the flesh, and he also dwells in the body, the physical body, but he can't get in your spirit because Jesus dwells there. But he will camp around it. He will try to bring his deception everywhere possible. Everywhere that you'll let him come in there with compromise and deception and demons. And in fact, it seems that we haven't really begun to fight until God comes and lives on the inside of us. Really, we can't really fight the devil. There's no way we can fight the devil, okay? But on our own until God comes and lives within us. And then, boy, it seems like we've never really fought before either because, hey, as long as Satan was in us and we were living in darkness, we didn't have to fight that way. We didn't even know how to do spiritual warfare. But now Satan really hates us on a new level because, you know, we who were dust have Jesus living on the inside of us, God Almighty living on the inside of us, and we've been given great authority over the devil and his forces of evil. See, this is what is taking place. Hallelujah. Now we're in a position that the devil just hates that position that we have in Christ today. So he wants to make sure that the church as a whole, you know, does not indulge in the truth, does not embrace their authority and walk in that authority over him. He's afraid that we will. Therefore, he's very busy all the time with himself, his fallen angels, and his demon spirits that are very busy to keep us in a place where he will try to get us to compromise, to be weak in our faith, to live in fear and be controlled by the demons in our flesh and soul. See, that's where he wants us to be. He doesn't want us walking in the power, the authority of the name of Jesus against him. Oh, my, he is so afraid. You know, and so, you know, here we are in compromise. We're afraid we might offend somebody. You know, hey, so we just don't tell anybody the gospel, and we don't bind a loose demon. We don't do much of anything. We're not on the offensive, you know, because, you know, hey, the gospel is offensive to the flesh. to the lost people, so it's just better to just be quiet. We don't want to go around offending people all the time. We wouldn't want to be like Jesus, would we? But after all, he went around offending them all the time and saying, you whitewashed sepulchers, you make people a twofold child of hell, you know? He said some pretty stuff, some pretty heavy stuff without compromise, didn't he? But, oh, no, compromise. As the little foxes come in to spoil the vine, little by little, little compromises here, little compromises there, little fox slipped in and bound up a believer here, bound up a believer there, bound up the church today. These little foxes are spoiling the vine at a rapid rate today. Because, the devil is afraid of you, and he's afraid of the church. He's afraid of me. He's afraid that we're going to rise up and be the true church of the living God, because he knows what the Bible says. He knows what the Word says, that we've been given authority over him. We've been given authority in the earth, and the devil cannot prevail, see, against us if we walk in that kind of authority. Oh, my, my, yeah. But, oh, well, little compromise here, little fox here, you know. The world is sick with sin and at enmity with God. Yet the church has the answer for the world. It has the joy. It has peace. It has the blood. It has so much. And the church is partaking of that which is at enmity with God. What is wrong here? Why would the church be partaking of that which is at enmity with God and therefore, you know, joining to that which is at enmity with God? Church, we're going to have to wake up, people. The spirit of compromise is going to have to be cast out. The church must be purged and cleansed again and made holy. Are we walking in that holiness today? We should be. 1 Peter 1:15 tells us, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation in the Greek means behavior. Yeah? In all manner of behavior, are we walking holy in all manner of behavior today? Huh? Doesn't look like it when I look around. I mean, we have a holy calling, actually a high and holy calling, and we're not called to please ourselves or the world, but we're called to please God, to honor God, to reverence God, to fear God. Forget what the world thinks. Or the Joneses next door, keep up with the Joneses, or keep in alignment with the Joneses, with the woke Joneses next door. Really, what does God have to think? What does God have to say about it? When Moses went to Pharaoh and demanded, let my people go, what did Pharaoh do? No, he just made it harder on them, see? So, you know, when we go and we start taking authority over the enemy, it's going to try to make it more difficult to scare you off of your authority, see? He's going to try to stop you from taking your position as sons and daughters of the living God. And so he increased the labor and increased the burden and said, make twice the bricks. And yeah, but the Lord also responded too, and he brought plagues on Egypt. I'm telling you, people don't realize how wicked and evil Egypt really is. It was, I mean, at that time. You look at some of the pictures, even some that we posted here tonight, if you look at them, they're showing the men with breasts and men, you know, dressed up as women. This is no different. I mean, I was reading the book of Ecclesiastes. It says there's nothing new over the sun, yet the problem is people don't remember, it says in Ecclesiastes. They don't remember that it's all been done before. These LGBTQs think, oh, we're doing something bold and new. Hey, this stuff's been going on since the devil's been loosed on mankind. This is nothing new. You ain't doing anything new. You're just following in the same old sin of your fathers and your mothers. And, you know, really, it's nothing new under the sun. You know, and Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said it's all vanity anyway. It's all empty. It's going to lead you nowhere. Okay? And so anyway, after seeing the promise of God, the power of God, that is, showing up in the plague, Pharaoh tried to get Israel to compromise. You remember the story. Pharaoh is a type of Satan. We see Satan in Pharaoh. And you think that these people in Egypt were Satan worshipers. The god Ra is Satan. You know, and they were Satan worshipers. They would indulge in every kind of child perversion. You would see men with little boys there, and you would see all manner of perversions going on with these kings with little boys. They had a queen, but they also had little boys and little things that they were involved in that were nasty and unclean and perverted, and pedophilia was going on. There's nothing new under the sun. And they worshipped all these heathen, wicked gods, which were devils and fallen angels and Satan, right? So listen, he was dealing with Satanism when he was dealing with Egypt. He was dealing directly with the devil and the devil's horde of people that worshipped and honored the devil. So let's go to Exodus 8:25 and see, though, how this is the type of the devil, what he's doing to the church today. You want to serve God? Okay, fine. You know, just don't do this. Don't get too carried away. See, he offered them a compromise right off here. Once he'd seen the power of God, oh, we're going to keep our control over these people. Let's just give them a little bread here. Let's give them a little Social Security, a little this, a little Medicaid or whatever we have to do. We'll keep control of the people. Yeah, we'll just give them a little reparation. We'll just do this. We'll do that. We'll give them this government handout. Yeah, we'll keep them. Just compromise. Just keep worshiping us. Just keep, you know, doing what we want you to do. Don't cause us any trouble. Let us rule and reign over you and be the lords over you, right? Exodus 8:25, and the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt and all that was in the field, both man and beast. And I'm reading 9:25. Let me jump back to verse 8:25. Here we go. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. He wanted them to stay there in Egypt. How can you stay in the devil's territories and do what you're called to do? No, you've got to go into God's land. You've got to walk in spirit and in truth, see. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and truth. You don't worship him in the flesh. You don't worship him in the land of the devil. And that's what Pharaoh offered him. Yeah, just stay here, hang out here, and then go worship your God if you want, whatever you're going to do. But you know, you're going to hang out right here in the land of sin, the land of Satan. How many know you can't serve God in the land of Satan, in the land of sin? Come out from among them. Be ye separate. That's not the unclean thing. That's what the Word of God says. Come on. You know that. Right? Come out from among them. See, when Satan sees you determined to serve God, he's going to try to make us believe that we could serve the Lord and still be of the world, still be, you know, also in Egypt, which Egypt is also a type of sin, and speaking of sin and bondage to sin, as well as the devil, of course. And it's a type of the world and this evil age also. And so he tried to offer a compromise. And then, after another great demonstration of God's power, Pharaoh again proposed a compromise. In Exodus 8:28, we see another compromise proposed. Okay, Satan says, or Pharaoh says, he says, and Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. Oh, go pray for me if you want to, you know. Entreat him for me. But just don't go very far away. In other words, you stay in a compromised position. He proposed this compromise. Go not far away. Sound familiar? You better not go too far in all this God stuff. You better not get too fanatical about Jesus. He might become some kind of unbalanced person. Maybe you better go see a psychiatrist, you know. Really, you go to church twice a week, reading the Bible all the time? Really, don't you need to? You need to calm down. You need to settle down. Praying and praising God all the time. All this incessant talk about Jesus. Hey, come on now, tone it down. Tone it down. Come on, tone it down. Yes, all this God stuff is making you mentally unbalanced today. You should get some psychiatric care. You know, they've got just what you need. You're just too much right now. You need to go to college and let our professor straighten you up and straighten you out. You need an education. Yeah, you need to compromise. See, the devil is doing it. He's just trying to get you to compromise, trying to get you trapped, trying to get you bound up again. Yeah, how many Christian young people who once had a zeal and a fervor have been lost to government and public education? Well, too many. I know a number of them who've been lost to this and never have come back to Jesus. Never have come back to Jesus. See? They bought Pharaoh's compromise. They bought, yeah, they bought into his proposed compromise, and they took the bait, man. And Satan got his way with them. Satan's propaganda machine. Yeah, the ungodly public government school system destroying the children of this nation and has destroyed already a generation. So many today have drifted far away from their Christian roots because of going into that school system and the college system and listening to those professors. And they actually paid to have those people take their platform and propagandize them. And some of them are paying, you know, most of their lives they're having to pay back their student loan. Not only they may be paying with their life because they go to hell instead of heaven because they've made a choice to embrace and compromise that which is of the world. But the spiritual price is really, it's just too high. Look at that price, folks. It has cost some their eternal salvation, not to mention all the demons that are picked up there in the government school system. People are willingly subjecting themselves to situations and circumstances that open doors to demons, and they very quickly pick up all kinds of mongrel travelers who will be with them in the rest of their lives unless they are awakened to their need for deliverance and do something about it. How many are in bondage to devils today that they wouldn't have been in bondage to if they'd have stayed out of that system of darkness where the demons are just waiting to get on to them, waiting to inhabit them. Yes, waiting. Sadly, too many never do get free. Too many are stuck in Egypt and have listened to Pharaoh's compromises and compromising suggestions. Now they're bound, and the road back to Jesus has been blocked and hindered by many devils picked up living in the devil's territory. Right? But the good news is you can make a choice to return to Jesus, be restored and filled and cleansed by his blood. You can come out of that Egypt. You can come out of Satan's grip. You can come out of that darkness. You can get reprogrammed by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You can come out of darkness back into the marvelous light. You can repent. It's not too late as long as you're breathing. Yeah. It's up to you. You have a choice to make, my friend. Brothers, sisters, I know they're probably not listening to this broadcast tonight. They're probably not in part of this service. But, boy, they could come. They could come. We need to recognize there is an all-out war to pull you away from Jesus and faith, to destroy your faith, to weaken your faith, to cause you to be unbelieving. An unbelieving believer, that's what Satan wants, because he knows the power of faith. He knows that if you believe, all things are possible to him or her that believe it. True believers are going to have to refuse to allow the world, friends, relatives, things, jobs, whatever, the religious crowd to tell them how far they will go with God. You ain't going to tell me how far I go with God. I'm going to go as far with God as I want to go with God, and nobody's going to stop that. You got to have a determination. A holy determination to go on all the way. But notice, now again, number three time, we see even after a greater manifestation of God's power, Pharaoh again proposed the compromise. Exodus 10, 24. Here he proposes. See, the devil himself, right? That's what Pharaoh represents, the devil. And he's trying everything he can to stop the will, the plan of God to set the people of God free from his control. And so again, he compromises. Exodus 10:24, and Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, "Go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds stay here, be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you, but leave your stuff here." How many know that's a trick of a devil? You know, not one hoof, you know, should be left there, but hey, Now they could go, but they have to leave their flocks and their herds behind. Satan's last attempt at getting us to compromise to get us to leave something back in the land of Egypt, something in the land of bondage, something in Satan's hand, some part of their lives under the control of Satan, because he knows that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He knows that if he has you in something, he can have you in more. That's right. All it takes is just a little compromise and he starts getting in there again. See? Just a little of this, a little of that. Mm-hmm. How many times have we been tempted to compromise and return because of old lovers, supposed, you know, fun that we had, or old friends in the world, or soul ties, which are often lust ties with somebody, depression, alcohol, or, you know, drugs, I don't want to, I still want that weed. I still want that alcohol. I still want those, hang out with those old friends that are ungodly, or some, glamorous thing left behind. Yeah. You left it in Egypt and it's got a hold on you because it's still attached to you and you got to go back to it. Get it? You need to see. It is all glitter and glamour and will soon pass away. It's nothing. Temporal lie needs to be rejected. And we need to say what Moses said to Pharaoh. We need to speak as Moses spoke to Pharaoh. In Exodus 10:26, what did he say here? He said, our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not be a hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. In other words, I'm not leaving nothing behind, not even one hoof. Hoof of a cow, hoof of a cattle will be left behind. Okay? Not going to leave anything back in your control, devil. When I leave, I'm leaving all the way. When I'm starting to get deliverance, I'm going to continue to get deliverance. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to live in the land of compromise, devil. You might as well give it up, man. Not listening to your lies. Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Quit looking back there, saint. It doesn't have anything to offer you. Okay? Quit looking back there and hanging on to those things and those people that you had some history with in the past. Hey, forgetting the things that lie behind, pressing on for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Some things, some people, you just need to forget about it. You need to leave it behind. Otherwise, you leave that foot back there in Egypt. He's looking up in the devil's territory. He's going to pull you back in. He's going to pull you back in. You got to cut it 100% loose or cut them 100% loose. Okay, there'll always be the opportunity to compromise, but we need to be as David was and Moses was. Okay? We need to be determined not to be partaking of those things and not to stay in Egypt, not even a little mite stay in Egypt, not even a little pinhead in Egypt. We're coming out of Egypt, dwelling in the promised land. Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. See, devil? That includes devils. We ought to obey God rather than devils, because devils are in men, and they choose to cause you to go in a way that is not best for you. Folks, it's time for us to show integrity, uprightness, the good works of God, the power of God, the righteousness shining forth out of our lives. Can we do that on our own? No, it takes a supernatural power from God. We can try to be good and upright by our own self, and all we are is religious. I know we can't do it. I can't do it. All right? I have to have someone greater than me. I'm just a man and helpless without God's power, without Jesus dwelling in me. But with God, oh my, with God, look out, devil. I can do all things. Because it's not I, but Christ. See, he is truly your strength, your power. He's truly your life. Okay? We got to reject Egypt with all its heathen and paganism and Satanism and all the, really, if you look into Egypt, how dark it was back in those days. It's time for you to run to Jesus. Never run away again or let yourself be led away from him by devils again. Run to Jesus with a repentant spirit and say, no more, no more, God. I repent for that. I turn from that. I confess I sinned against you, Lord, and sinned against myself, sinned against you. See, the battle for stealing, killing, and destroying people never ceases. It never stops. We have devils after us, okay? It doesn't stop, so you must make some internal decisions. Have you made some internal decisions within yourself that will keep you out of the devil's territory? What are some of them that will keep you out of the devil's territory? Number one, that you always put Jesus first and love him with all that you are, every part of your being, spirit, soul, and body, right? That you will love Jesus and always put him first. That'll keep you out of the devil's territory. Number two, that you will hate evil and love good, which is God. There's none good but God, right? So if we're loving good, we're loving God, see? And we're hating evil. The Bible commands us to hate evil. And so many people think we need to pray for evil. Pray the devil will get saved. No, the devil's not going to get saved. That's ridiculous. You pray for the devil. No, you hate the evil. He's the epitome of evil. He's given himself fully over to it. And number three, that you will love God's word to you and cherish the word of God above all of the world and what it has to offer you. Cherish your word. Cherish the word of God. He's given that, his love letter to us, his victory to us, his promises to us, his truth to us. See? And the devil's full of lies. The whole world lieth in wickedness. See, so it's full of the father of lies and those lies. See, so we love the truth. We're loving the word. See, so you'll love God's truth to you. God's word to you is God's truth to you. And number four, that you will declare war on all devils that still remain in you, and you will not stop until you're delivered from them, which will be our whole lifetime, right? Because it's a progressive walk of deliverance. And number five, that you will always praise and worship the Lord all the days of your life in every circumstance and situation. Let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a sharp two-edged sword in your hand. Amen? Let that word be in your hand. Oh, man, you a mean dude, mean gal when you got that. I mean, you mean looking to the devil. He's afraid of you. Amen? Oh, yeah. That you will handle the word well. That's the sword, the sharp two-edged sword. You will handle the word when you have it in your hand. You will handle it well, and you will study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly understanding, rightly using the word of truth. See? And number six, that you'll avoid compromise and run the race and keep running the race, forgetting what lied behind, all the mistakes of the past, all the problems of the past, the difficulties of the past, and pressing on for the prize that is set before you, saint of God. Oh, my, yes, it's set before you. See, the battle will not cease until Jesus comes back. In fact, really, it's intensifying, isn't it? I mean, it's to be expected. It's the last days, isn't it? And it will be a time like has not really ever been before, although it is likened somewhat to the days of Noah. But it is a time, really, where great tribulation such as has never been, Jesus said about it. So really, it's a time like has never been. And we're living through this time that has never been before. So, yeah. It'll even be more than the days of Noah, because there will have to be a shortening of the days, or no flesh, no human will even be saved. That's how, you know, this is so intense and so different. And this is the day that you and I have been chosen to live in. This is the time that we have been born and born again. And so we must not be afraid to do personal warfare. We're going to have to conquer in this area so that we can get our eyes off of us anyway and on to Jesus and keep them on Jesus. And you need to just quit worrying all the time. You know, quit worrying about this, worrying about that. Keep putting it in the Master's hands. Keep casting your cares on the Lord. If you have to do it 100 times a day, keep on doing it until you have that release, until you have that sense that you don't carry these things at all anymore, and you know that you have truly released it to the Lord, and you're able to rest. You have a rest when that happens. There's a rest when you've truly given your cares over to the Lord. You have a rest, and you can enjoy that rest. You know, there is a rest for the people of God, it says. And it's not just one day. It's a perpetual Sabbath. It's a perpetual Sabbath means rest. So it's a perpetual rest that you have in Him. And there is a way to stay in that perpetual rest by keep giving Him everything and casting every care upon Him and resting in Him, knowing that He's going to work it out, knowing that He's got your back, He's got your front, your sides, your above and below, and every part of you. He's got you. Amen. Goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. I'm dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. I'm dwelling in it right now, see? Oh, yes. And we need to continue to get the revelation of who Christ is in us. Amen? Who is Jesus in you? You know, there's so much revelation about that. What is Jesus in us? Who is Jesus in us? What is He doing in us? See, we are more than conquerors through Jesus. That's what we are. That's our identity. That's what the Word of God declares over us. We're more than conquerors through Him that loves us. So we have to live with a conquered mentality, and that comes by revelation mentality. Revelation knowledge. Yeah, it comes by revelation to us. Ephesians 4:24. Let's read it. Ephesians 4:24. And that ye put on the new man, the born-again person, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is the new person, see? This is the born-again spirit. We need to put that on. We need to put that on. We need to leave it on and keep it on. The new man, living from the new creation, and quit mixing the new and the old, because we don't live from a mixture. We don't want to mix the old covenant with the new. We don't want to mix the law of sin and death with the new. No, we just want to put on the new man, the new creation. The Lord doesn't want us to be a mixture. He wants us to live only from the new. That's where the victory is, see? That's where the overcoming life is. That's where it's from the new creation, the spirit man, the spirit walk. What does the Bible say? Walk in that, and the lust and the control of the flesh will not dominate. Walk in the spirit, you not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Remember that scripture in Galatians, see? So we walk in the Spirit. We walk in a new creation, in other words. We walk in our born again. We walk from our born again spirit, see? We don't walk in the flesh. We walk in the flesh. You can become at enmity with God that way, because there's no good thing that dwells in our flesh, according to Paul, see? And he does what he doesn't want to do when he lives from the flesh. So he does the things he doesn't want to do. And we do the things we don't want to do. When we let the flesh have the dominant place in our lives at any point and any time, we do things we don't really want to do, but we do want to do it. Our flesh wants to do it. Our flesh may even crave it. Yeah. It may crave doing those things. It may crave being that way. So walking in the Spirit is walking in the new creation person that you are now in Christ Jesus. That is your true identity. That is who you are. That is what you are now. It is spirit, not flesh. Remember, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Satan wants to use your flesh as a tool to pollute your whole being. But you cannot let him prevail. But some will let him prevail because they choose to let their flesh have the dominance in their life. But Paul says, I die daily, so I'm not going to let that flesh have a dominant place in my life. See? But Satan is going to try to prevail, and some will let him prevail. They will let him have his way with them, but don't let that be you. See, resist the devil and he will flee. That's what the Word of God says. So that is a place where there is a place where we must keep up a continual resistance to the enemy. He will flee like he did with Jesus. Jesus kept the pressure on until he said that the devil left him for a season. Oh, yeah, he left him for a season because he couldn't take it anymore. He was being rebuked. He was being stood up against by the power of God. And that's what we could do, too. We could stand up against the enemy and the power of God. We could resist him to the point he can't stand it anymore, and he'll have to leave. Because it's too much for those devils. It's too much for them. They can't take that. Just like they couldn't take it, Satan himself couldn't take it. After three rebukes by Jesus, three quoting of the word of God of resisting him, Satan just had to leave for a season. He couldn't keep it up any longer. Three was all he could go. With Jesus, he had to go. Now, listen, I know that sometimes you've had to resist the devil more than three times to get him to go. But, hey, if you don't quit, he's going. He's going, brother. He's going, sister. He's moving out of there. Don't let the resistance stop until you see his backside going, okay? And really, the key is really to spend time in his presence. The Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. Why would you not want fullness of joy? Yet people can make every kind of excuse not to be in his presence. I want to be in his presence. Oh, we couldn't take too much of that spirit life. Oh, my. You know, it's just too much for us. Come on, really? Listen, you're going to be in that spirit life for eternity, and why is it that you don't want to start being in it now? Why is it that you're not hungry for it now? If you want to spend eternity with Jesus, then why is it that you desire Egypt and the things of Egypt, the things of the world, so much still? Could it be there's still some Egypt inside, some demonic spirit that need to be taken out, that need to go? Right. So spend time in his presence. Satan will tell you that you're missing something. You're missing out. But the fact is the devil's missing something that he can never have. And that's a right standing with Father God again. He can never have that. He's never going to have that. He is cursed to eternal damnation, eternal separation from the Father. So he's telling you you're missing something. But the fact is you tell him no, you're the one missing something. You're going to miss out on God forever. You made your choice, devil. You're the one missing something. You've missed out on life and in God and on love. You've rejected what really matters, and now you want us to also reject it? Really? No, you're mentally ill, devil. I'm sorry. I'm not going to receive your little compromise and your distractions of Egypt, of darkness. Not me. I choose Jesus. See, you need to make the number one choice every day. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Reject the devil. Oh, he'll come with a compromise just like Pharaoh did, right? He'll come and bring you another juicy compromise. Yeah, you could go out, just leave this here, just hang out here with this in my territory, you know, just do this, just do that. Right. No, thank you, devil. I do not need your compromise. I do not need to walk in the way that you might suggest to me through your temptations. No. I'm sorry. Oh, spend some time praying and fasting and seeking God, folks. Make up your mind. If you know that you're just going to have all you can have of Jesus right now and not be denied. You're not going to let the devil come with the little foxes in there and spoil you in your life. Yeah, that's right. You know, Jesus is there for you. I mean, listen, lady cried for 7 years, crying and sick, but she decided to pray. And so when she decided to pray, she went to a place where she could praise and worship God and pray and set herself apart for a while. And so she went there and prayed and fasted, and she saw peace spelled out before her in the air. And then she was healed physically, emotionally, you know, and God touched her when she took time to set apart and just be in his presence, okay? Be in that peace. She got the peace of God that passes understanding, you know, and people don't take the time to walk in that peace. They know the word says it, but they're not walking in peace. Because they haven't taken the time to get there and spend time in his presence until that peace settled down upon them like it did upon this woman. She said, man, I have cried for 7 years, crying and sick for 7 years. And then she decided, I am going to come apart and just be in his presence, fast and pray. And Jesus showed up. See, Jesus showed up. Yeah, that's right. And we need to take time for Jesus to show up in our lives. And, you know, that's hard to do in a fast-paced society that we live in a culture that we live in where everybody's, you know, just, oh, my, got to be busy, got to do this, got to do that, got to work, you know. But see, our faith should be our way of life, folks. Faith should be your way of life. I mean, really, that's it. You know, Adam was put in the garden to keep the Garden of Eden. And, you know, we're to keep the garden of our spirit, and we're to nurture it with spending time in the Word of God and feeding on Jesus and his presence and his power. We need to live with an attitude of expectation. Do you have that attitude of expectation, or you have given that up and not just thinking nothing's going to happen, God's not coming through for me? No. You have an attitude of expectation, knowing that God will come through for you. See, you know, Jesus sat down on the right hand of the Father expecting till all his enemies be made his footstool. See, and are they all going to be made his footstool? Absolutely, because when Jesus expects, I mean, he's the author and finisher of faith. It's going to happen. And see, he gave us that measure of faith, and we need to activate our faith by hearing the Word of God. And live in expectation, just like our master. We had to copy him. You know, he'll give us the enablement, the empowerment, the quickening to live that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay? See, the devil's not the author and finisher of your faith. You know, all these trials and things, you think that the devil's the author and finisher of your faith? No, he's going to try to wear out the saints of the Most High. He's going to try to steal your faith. He's going to try to rob you. Okay? And really, some things that the devil can do, you know, which are much more beyond our understanding, God doesn't let him do. Because, you know, he can only do that which is common to man. Because the Bible says we're tempted with the temptations that are common to man. There are things that the devil has done in eons past that he can do that he's not allowed to do in this time that we live in, see? Because there's no temptation that God doesn't make a way of escape with. So there are some things the devil cannot do. God doesn't let him do, okay? You know, God has a lot of authority, you know. He can only do what is common to man. He is limited by the word of God, the devil is. You know, that's a security to us, really, knowing that the worst temptation will not be beyond what is common to man, and that he will give us a way out of that. He will make a way of escape. The worst spiritual warfare is that which is common to man, and God will not allow that more than what we could take to be, tempted with or harassed with by the enemy. Thank you, Jesus, right? And we have authority over all the power of the wicked one, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. That's what the scripture says. So if we think in that line and believe in that line, we'll be believing correctly. And that in itself will stop a lot of the work of the enemy, especially when we open our mouth and bind and loose and take our authority as properly we should. Amen. So, yes, the church needs to give up compromise. The spirit of compromise is a spirit, okay? And we need to strive for the unity of the Spirit instead of this spirit of compromise allowing it to come in. We need the unity of the Holy Spirit, the unity of faith. Okay? And the full unity of faith is not going to fully happen until Jesus comes. But, hey, we need to press into that, though, for now. Right? We need to press into unity of the faith. And not that we're all going to agree on everything and believe everything exactly the same. As long as we don't embrace false doctrine, see, we'll be okay. We embrace truth. And that's the key, okay? Stay in the truth. He said, I am the way, In other words, he's the way we walk in. He's the truth. He's the truth we walk in, and he's the life we walk in. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. See, I'm come that you might have that abundant life. See, and we walk in that life. He infuses that life into us as we receive it, as we are quickened by that life, and quickened means made alive together, quickened in our spirit. See, amen. Okay. We're quickened in our spirit, spiritually alive, made alive with the life of God. The Zoe of God is in our spirit. We have a spiritual understanding that the world does not have because they are not born again. You can't get that spiritual understanding until you've been born again. And so we are born again, and we can hear the things of the Spirit if we put ourselves in a position to hear, which most believers, I'm sorry to say, do not put themselves in a position to hear the things of the Spirit. They don't put themselves in a position that they can walk in the things of the Spirit. They're too compromised. They're too beset by their besetting sins. See? Oh, yes. Amen. And we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that compromise has been invading the church for a long time, but it's gotten worse. And we need to reject that compromise and get into this place in the presence of the Lord. That is so important. I cannot emphasize it enough. Get yourself into the presence of the Lord, whatever it takes. Get yourself in his presence. Get yourself to feeding on his spirit, feeding on him. If you don't eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part of me. This is a spiritual feeding that we do. We feed on the tree of life. We feed on the blood of Jesus. We drink the blood of Jesus. This is a spiritual act. This is spiritual participation in the life of God that he has given to us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So are you participating in that? Are you ready to participate in it? Amen. We need to be ready. We need to make ourselves ready by putting ourselves in his presence, see, because if you don't slow down and take the time in his presence, how are you going to ever be aware of it? See, he doesn't just zap you for people that don't even care whether they're in his presence or not. He doesn't just, excuse me, zap you with it. If you don't want it, he doesn't force it upon you. You hunger and thirst, you will be filled. You don't hunger and thirst, you won't be filled. It's that simple. You've got to have a hunger first before you go eat. I'm not hungry. I'm not eating, you know. But if you get hungry, you're going to go eat. You're going to open the door of the refrigerator. You're going to turn on the stove. You're going to cook something. And so if you're really hungry, you'll get in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. It starts now, folks, when you get in his presence. It doesn't start in eternity. It started when he wrote the word. If it was just for eternity, why would he have really said that in my presence is fullness of joy? You can get in his presence now. Amen. You can dwell in the secret place of the Most High now. This is not some future event only. Too many people are seeing the Bible in a way that, well, it's just all in the sweet by and by. It's all in the future. When we all get to heaven, what a glorious day that will be. Yeah, that will be glorious. There will be no more devil there. But right now is when we need him. We're not going to need him like we need him now. I mean, no, you need him now. I need him now. Right now, we're in the midst of a battle. We're in the midst of a perverse nation, a perverse world. We need you now, Lord. Right now, I need to be refreshed in your presence. Right now, I need to get filled up with you, Jesus. Right now, I need the refreshing, the days of refreshing to come. I need the open heaven over me now, Lord. I need the power now. I won't need it when I'm in eternity with you. I'm living in your presence then, fully in your physical presence. Right now, I need you and your spiritual presence to show up in my life. Amen. You need him too. If you really want to go on with God, if you're really serious about your walk with God, you need this. We need him desperately, determinedly. We have to want if we're going to partake. Seek first the kingdom of God. That means you're seeking him first. You're seeking love first. because God is love, and righteousness comes from love, the gift of righteousness to us. Amen? Amen. You seek first the kingdom of God, everything comes after that. You seek first the things of God, and when you want him to give you something all the time, you're going to miss out. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, we're going to close out the word time tonight. Father, we want to come into your presence now, Lord. Be in your presence. Fill us up, Lord, overflowing. Refresh us with the days of refreshing. Renew our strength by your Spirit. Quicken our spirit, Lord. Quicken our being with your life. I'm your Spirit right now. That the renewing of our strength rise, Lord, that we will run and not be weary. We will walk and not faint. Lord, we will not give place to Pharaoh and his offers to compromise, his temptations. But, Lord, we will stay where there is fullness of joy. We will stay where there is at your right hand, Lord. We will stay in the glory of the Most High God. We will eat of you and drink of you, our life, giving you substances, and feed on the very life of God, the very Zoe of God that you come to bring to us, the Zoe, and more abundantly, life and more abundant life. We just draw that from you right now. Empower us. Fill us to overflowing. Fill us up, Lord. Fill us up afresh and anew, Lord. He said, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Lord, we are filled with the Spirit. We are being filled with the Spirit. We are overflowing with your Spirit. Fill us now, Lord. Fill us up. Yes, Lord, we just refresh ourselves. We take a Holy Spirit shower, a fresh shower of your love, a fresh shower of your life-giving strength, Lord. And we release the cares of this life. We release them to you now. We release them into your hand. Therefore, we are released from the burden of them. Your yoke is easy, your burden is light. We cast all those cares on you. All those cares, all those worries, all those concerns. Oh, yes. And we step out of time into your glorious presence, Lord. Into your glorious presence. There's a place in you, Lord. A place of rest and refreshing and renewing of strength, Lord. And we just step into that, Lord. Step into that right now, just like stepping into another room. That's all it is. It's just stepping out of one place into another. We're stepping out of the soulish realm into the spirit realm. We're stepping out of the flesh realm into the spirit. It's just like stepping into a different room as we step into your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Make it real, Lord. To those who have not experienced it before, Lord, make it real. Make it real. Take them deeper. Take them further. Take them closer. Yes, Lord. Take us closer than we've ever been before, ever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for filling us afresh now tonight. Jesus' name, we give you the glory, the praise, the honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. He is good. He is good, and his mercies endure forever. We've got it, folks. We've got his mercy. We've got his joy. We've got his love. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We've got his delivering power. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So much. So much. It's beyond compare to anything on this planet. Anything. Amen. Amen. All right. Will we be back in just a few minutes? Let's go ahead and have a time of intermission here, and we'll be back and do some deliverance tonight. appreciate you all there tonight, all of you in the chat room and listening by telephone and otherwise, other ways that people are listening as well. We internet and appreciate you all being here and partaking of Jesus tonight. We belong to him. He is good to us. Let's just put our trust in him. In Jesus, we will put our trust in him fully right now and let his love touch our lives and encourage us tonight. And we look up for our redemption. Draweth nigh. How many know? It's coming. It's coming. Hallelujah. It's coming. Thank you, Jesus.
Thunder rain, say, hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns.
Okay, yes, praise the Lord. Yeah, I thought it was over. Now it's over. Praise the Lord. We got to do some deliverance for a while. Yes, praise God. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, Jesus, that we can be here and do this and have this for those who want it. And everything else that God wants. It's time we need to plan a do communion on the air again. We haven't done that for a while. We need to do that again. All right, but obviously not ready to tonight. I didn't plan it, but we'll plan a time to just really press in with some taking communion, drink his blood, and eat his body, and not the physical sense like the Catholic, no. But this is a spiritual event is what we'll be doing, and be a spiritual partaking of Jesus and his presence and life and power and healing power. Of course, his body was broken for us, and by his stripes we were healed. That's an awesome thing. The more revelation you get on that, the closer you get into receiving all of the fullness of those promises. It's just amazing, the revelation that is still to be had. Oh, my. Lord, keep unveiling things. It's just awesome. All right, anyway, let's keep going here with some deliverance. The spirit of offense, we come against being offended, being in a place of unforgiveness, being in a place of offense. That's not a good place to be, so we rebuke that right now. The spirit of offense, the spirit of being offended, which can lead to unforgiveness, hatred, and other spirits too. A lot of things can come in that way. So come out of there right now. This spirit of offense, we rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. It's easy for many people to get offended. So we ought to stand guard against that spirit. Little things in life can offend you. Big things, little things, all kinds of people. Come out of there right now. Go. Come out. Offense. Go. Spirit of offense in Jesus' name. Family members can offend you. Husbands and wives can offend each other. People at church can offend you. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. Loose them, loose them, loose them, and let them go. Come out. Spirit of offense. Spirit of offense. Come out. In Jesus' name. Go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come all the way out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Out of there. Up and out. Spirit of offense. There are people that have offended you or you are offended at. You do not care to be around these people. I know you don't have to be around them, but if you've been offended and picked up the spirit of offense, you got to get rid of the spirit if you want to have peace. Come out. All that offense. Go. If you want to walk in peace in that area, got to let it go. Come out. Spirit of offense. Go. Spirit of offense. Go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Any anger too, come out, anger at people. Come out, anger at people. You come out, all that anger at people. You come out now, anger at God, anger at people. All that anger, come out of there in the name of Jesus. Loose them and let them go in Jesus' name right now. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All anger, all unforgiveness, all suppressed rage, come out. Rage and suppressed rage, come out, come out, come out. A lot of people suppressing a lot of things. What are you suppressing? We ought to let go of those things that you are suppressing right now. In Jesus' name, you're suppressing them. But that means there's a demon there because the thing wouldn't be there otherwise, would it? Come out of there right now. Go all the way up out of there. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus, go, go, go. Move, 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 move. Up out of there. Move. In Jesus' name, all that suppressing spirit causing you to suppress things, ready to explode on some things, but you're suppressing them. That spirit of suppression, come out. Come out. You got to let these things go. Give them to Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name, all that spirit of suppressing suppression, come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out. Keep coming out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come on, you got to go. The blood of Jesus is against that suppression. In Jesus' name, suppressing things. Yes, you demons of suppression, come out, keeping the people bound and miserable through suppression. Come out. Suppressing things, come out. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Suppress anger, suppress rage, suppress unforgiveness. Come out, all the way out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. All that suppression, come out. Come out of there, Jesus' name. All the way out, trying to lock these demons in through suppression. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of violence, come out. Spirit of violence, spirit of murder, come out. Come out, come out, come out, spirit of violence, spirit of murder, come out, 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 all the way out, all the way up out of there, loose of it, let them go, in Jesus' name, suppress the emotions too, the spirit suppressing your emotion. God has emotions. God got angry at the people that were casting out demons in the temple, right, and he cried at the tomb, right, for Lazarus. He cried, right? He cried. And so, yes, he has emotions. Emotions are good. If you don't let emotions control your life and run your life, and you don't let demons have control of your emotions and suppress emotions and bound emotions, they're demons. Come out of there right now. Suppress the emotions. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out, bound emotions, suppressed emotions, come out of there, all the way out. Sometimes, you know, the demon will bind and suppress emotions so you cannot be fully healed. You know, if they've got those emotions bound and you need to cry, you need to release something, you have suppressed emotions, bound emotions, and you cannot release them because they're bound by a demon, see? So you get the demon out, you can release those things, and you can move on. So come out of there, all the way out, bound emotions, come out, 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 come out of there, up and out, all the way, bound emotions, all the way out, suppressed emotions, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way up out of there, go in Jesus' name. We rebuke you, the Lord rebuke you, come out. Up and out in the name of Jesus right now. Up and out in the name of Jesus. Yes, the Lord wants us healed. He wants us mentally sound minds. Remember, it's part of it. So God did give us a spirit of fear, power, love, a sound kind of mind, right? A loving mind, a sound mind, not one that is full of fear and trepidation and all that stuff. You got to go right now. Get out of there. Come out. All that unsound mind, spirit, you get out of there. Having an unsound mind. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. The opposite of a sound mind would be an unsound mind. And, of course, fear. Come out. All the way out. If you're walking around in fear all the time, you don't have a sound mind, obviously, because fear is a dominant force in your mind. And you don't want to have anything dominant that's of the devil. You don't want it to be the dominant force in your mind. Get out of there right now. Get out of there. Unsoundness of the mind. Come out. 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 The unsound mind. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Go. 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 All that fear. Come out. Fearful mind. Come out. All the way out. Go. 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 Loveless mind. There's no love in a mind. He said that we would have love. Go all the way out. In Jesus' name. In perfect love, cast out fear, for fear has torment. Fear is afraid of being judged. It's afraid of, you know, being judged by God, that God is going to judge you. God is going to get you for your sin, for your wrong. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out of there. All the way out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them and loose them and let them go. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come out of there. Come out of there. Come out of there. Judgmental spirit, you come out. Judgmental spirit, come out right now. Go. That judgmental spirit, we rebuke it. The judgmental judging. Judge not lest you be judged, right? That's what the word says. So come out, the judgmental spirit. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come on, all the way out. The judgmental spirit, go go, 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 all the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus right now. The blood of Jesus is against you. Come out. The judgmental spirit. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Spirit of embarrassment. Being embarrassed easily. Even embarrassed about your faith in the Lord. That come out of there. That spirit of embarrassment. Come out. All that embarrassment. All the way out, embarrassed about your sins, your faults, your failures. Come out. Everybody has them. So don't, you know, come out of there. All the way out. Everybody has faults and failures that have done things that they don't wish they hadn't done. Come out of there or they're ashamed of. Come out. Embarrassment. Shame. Come out. Shamefulness. Come out. All the way out. Shame. Go. Shame. Come out. Shame. Come out. In the name of Jesus. All the way out, all that shame, you have to go, come out of there, all the way out. All that shame, go, 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 up and out of there. That critical spirit, too, critical, very critical spirit, you go right now. All that critical spirit, easy to criticize, yeah, come out. All that critical spirit, quick to criticize, quick to be critical. Come out, all the way out, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, all the way out. Jesus' name, go, go. All the critical spirit, go. Come out, come out, come out. Up and out, go. In Jesus' name, critical spirit, go. All the way out, up and out, up and out. Keep coming out. Critical spirits, go. Mocking spirits, too. Mocking people. Come out. All that mocking spirit, in Jesus' name, you have to go. Come out, mocking. All those mocking spirits, come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the way out. All those mocking spirits, come out. Father, rejection, you come out. Rejection by your earthly father, come out. All that father rejection, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Father, rejection, go, 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 all the way out, all the way up out of there. Loosen the limb, go, all the way out. All that father rejection in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. There's a lot of father rejection, a lot of father rejection. I was talking to somebody today, visiting with them about their father. Their father is an alcoholic still to this day, and they already had liver problems and been to the hospital several times, and they quit for a little while but went back to the alcohol. And, of course, the wife had the divorce, and it's another divided home because she could not take the alcohol and the stuff that went on because of the alcohol. It's tragic. So we're living in a nation of father rejection because where is the true father? Where is the people that truly fathers their children? There's not many men that are able to do that. They're either workaholics and too busy, you know, or they're caught up in their own lives and the things of their life, or they're, you know, gone all the time. And there's a lot of things that they're just unable to, because they were rejected. They're unable to not reject their own children. They have rejection in them. So how can someone with rejection by father, not have rejection toward their own children? See, because the spirit is a generational spirit. So we command that father rejection to go. That's why so many people are just not really complete and whole. They're looking for that father's love. And you're not going to really find the perfect father's love in this earth. You find it in the Heavenly Father only. See, because he's the only one with a perfect love, right? I mean, we can partake of perfect love because he's in our spirit. And that perfect love, if we receive it from him, then, of course, we're going to be a partaker of it. But did our earthly father have that? Were they filled up? Even if they were born again, they may not have been partaking of that perfect love in their spirit and releasing it out to their children. How many fathers really even know how to do that? See, how many are that spiritually mature to do that? So come out of there. Father rejection. We rebuke that father rejection. Maybe your father was harsh and stern and strict and rigid or very religious. I don't know. But regardless, you have to come out of there. Those things will cause a son or a daughter to feel rejected and pick up a spirit of rejection. My Father, come out, 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 come out in Jesus' name. All that Father rejection, go in the name of Jesus. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus right now and go all the way out. And let Father God love in place of these. When these spirits are gone, let his love break through. And let him be the Father to you that you didn't have. You know, that you didn't. Maybe you still have your Father, but he still doesn't love you like he could. You know, because he's still lacking in that area. But maybe he's repented, he's changed, and he's able to love you now like he didn't when you were being raised. That's a good thing. Praise God for that. Some fathers do, as they get older in the Lord and more mature, they do change, and they do begin to love in ways that they didn't and weren't able to when they were younger men with the children young at home. Come out of there, all the way out. Go, go, keep coming out. All that father rejection, go, go, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out all the way out. But there are so many broken homes in this country. There's so many, over 50% of marriages end in divorce. That's the statistics. And so, yeah, it's just hard to find anybody that didn't come from a broken home nowadays. Come out of there all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come out. Keep coming out all the way out. All the way up out of there. All that father rejection. I just say, I receive your love, Father God. I receive your love, Father God. I receive your love, Father God. Shower me, bathe me, fill me with your love, Father God. Heal the areas that were left empty and hurt because of father rejection by my earthly father or stepfather or whatever you had. Come out of there, every bit of it, and Lord, just go in and heal. Heal that area, father rejection. In Jesus' name, as the Spirit goes, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for sealing this deliverance that people have received tonight. Seal it to them and let them walk in and keep what they got and get more. And just take them into your presence, Father. As they hunger and thirst for you, Lord, just fill them up to overflowing. Let that be an ongoing part of their life, not just a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but make it an ongoing part of their lives as well. I certainly have it as part of my life. I get into his presence. And that's where we need to learn to go more often, folks. Thank you for listening tonight, folks. We appreciate you, love you, and Lord bless you, and we'll see you back next week on Friday night. That's right. All right. Good night, dear ones. Appreciate you. God bless you, and we will see you next week. Amen. Well, that's all. We heard the final song for the evening. My final word is just enjoy the blessing of your God. Yeah, he does want us to enjoy being a Christian. You know, it's not just a hard, hard road, and that's all it is. No, no. That's not just the only thing to this, right? There's much more. There's the goodness of God. Remember that scripture leads to repentance. There's the goodness of God that he wants his people to partake of. Don't forget the goodness of God. Let that goodness of God be a dominant force in your life. And the goodness of God says that I'm not willing that any should perish. So there's still hope for your loved ones as long as they're alive. Still hope. Don't give up the goodness of God. Yeah. The goodness of God will be seen. And we just pray that it will be received by them when they see it. Thank you, Jesus. So don't give up on the goodness of God. It's real. It's powerful. And it's a dominant force. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll leave you with that tonight. God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you later. You have a blessed weekend and week next week. And we'll be back with you Friday night.